right, everybody, welcome to a brand new series that we are calling The Book of Daniel. So glad to have you along here. My name is Kyle Mills, the lead pastor here. And if you are here for the very first time, we just want to welcome you. So glad that you're with us here this morning. And just before I get into our message here today, I want to just take just a minute and give a shout out to a bunch of people who were part of Amazing Weekend around here. And for those that saw that video there a minute ago, how many know you don't want to do a root canal all by yourself? Come on. Woo. I know I don't. So, but one of the things that is just a huge, just a catalyst of our church, that's small groups. Everybody say small groups. And that's one of the best ways that we can disciple and help people along in the journey. And so one of our small groups this past semester, and we just concluded our winter spring semester this past weekend, and we take the month of May off and give that as a time of rest for our leaders. And then we have our summer semester coming up in the 1st of June. But one of the first groups, that is a new group that we launched this semester, was called Freedom, our Freedom group. And I had the opportunity last fall to take a bunch of our leaders through Freedom and just train us. And then together we were a part of what was called the Freedom Conference. And so one of our covering churches, Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama, Pastor Chris Hodges, their team really just drafted up an amazing curriculum to help people just really move forward in the journey. So our heart here at Elevate is to take people through growth track, help people identify their gifts, their purpose, to live it out for the glory of God. But then also, how many know that we all have some issues, though, sometimes we still need to work out? Come on, just wave at me if you know what I'm talking about, all right? We have things that we need to work through, and so we've been learning and growing along in the process that we need small groups, and that's a huge part of our ministry. And one of the things specifically with Freedom is that it really pinpoints some things in our life, and I just want to speak to this personally, that even as I took through our leaders through this, how much it just changed my life, and being a part of the conference and how much it impacted me last fall. And so we had around 30 or so people of our church just through our first group this past semester go through it. And in Freedom, we helped to deal with things like hurts from the past and wounds and pains from the past, how to be able to move forward through that, even addictions or besetting sins that try to hold you back and keep you in bondage. And we got a bunch of free people in the house over this weekend. I'm telling you that right now. It's awesome. And so I'm just proud of them. And so we were part of Freedom Conference, which we teamed up with one of our sister churches, who I serve on their board with as an overseer at Experience Church in Defiance, Ohio, on Friday night and Saturday, and just saw, man, just God move in such a powerful way. And so I want those guys just to stand up for a minute. If you were part of the Freedom Conference, just for a minute, will y'all stand up just for a minute? Come on, let's give them a great big hand for a minute. Come on, everybody. Amazing weekend. And here's why I want them to stand up. Hang on, guys, hang on. Because you need to go to one of these guys and ask them about this Freedom small group. I'm just encouraging everybody in our church at some point to go through this. And I've told our leadership, our pastors this. I'm asking our pastors, all of them, to go through it as well. It has just been remarkable what God has done. And so this fall, we will be launching multiple Freedom groups to help accommodate the growth that we are expecting in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all can sit down. Thank you so much. So how many know freedom feels good? And so we've learned that we are not just forgiven, but God has also set us free and wants us to enjoy the freedom in this journey. So I'm really excited about this series. And really the idea behind this series in the book of Daniel is really asking the question, how do we live godly in an ungodly age? How many know the culture in our world just seems as if it is in a mess? And how do we live this out? Because I believe that we're in a place and we're in an hour that we are seeing many things slip away. And so we're going to look at this guy, Daniel, who I believe saw a lot of very similar things in his life. Daniel was also the author of Daniel, all right, if you didn't catch that. But nonetheless, he endured a lot in his generation and his time in dealing with culture. And so we're really going to learn, I think, a lot of important things that's going to help us in the times in which we're living in today. But one of the confusing things I think that sometimes people struggle with the Bible is the Bible is not laid out chronologically in order, especially really in the Old Testament, because all the books of the Bible are really just kind of grouped together. So the first five books of the Bible are really fit within itself. It's together. They're in the same category. And then you would have really the historical section of your Bible. And then there comes the poetic prophetic section of the Bible, which is the book of Psalm, the book of Proverbs, and then you have the major and the minor prophets of the Bible. Now, when people hear major and minor, they think, well, one was greater than the other. That's actually not true. The reason why they label it major and minor is just because of the length of the book itself. And so the book of Daniel is actually considered, he's considered a major prophet in this, that the first six chapters of the book of Daniel are actually recorded history, and then the last six chapters of Daniel deals with just prophecy and prophetic things to come. And the last six chapters also of that are actually seen in the book of Revelation. And it's interesting to me, and it's powerful, because the same vision that John the disciple of Jesus had and what he saw as it relates to the end times, Daniel also saw those things in his times. And so we will actually end this series talking about the end times. And I think it's just important that we understand the times in which we are living in. Can you say a good amen today? And so the first few messages today and next week or so, we're kind of really dealing with the historical side of things, what's happening. And just for Bible history, there's about 4,000 years of Bible recorded history from the time of Genesis and Adam all the way to Jesus. And there's about 400 years, what is called the silent years, that we just don't know really much about. And so Daniel was living in a time right around 600 BC. I'm just giving you a little history so you know where we're going today. And King Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon at this time. And Babylon actually is current day for us, Iraq, which is interesting as well. And so, but Babylon came and defeated Israel, really, in fulfilling a prophecy that was fulfilled because the Lord really just had a direct conversation with the people of Israel and just told them that if you're not going to follow after me, then I'm going to give you over to the world. And so Israel continued in their disobedience. Babylon came and really just overthrew them, took the Israelites, those people, into exile, into slavery, into bondage. And Daniel, it's important for you to understand that he was a part of that slavery. He was a part of that bondage that happened. Now, what's interesting about this first chapter, and again, I'm just trying to set the scene for you this morning, that you will see Daniel in a constant confrontation with culture. And you will see how the man of God handled the crisis and the things that were happening in his day in such a powerful and, I believe, very incredible way. And so what's important to understand about Babylon in this time, it's really no different than what we're seeing in our culture today, because it was a time of just ungodliness where people were just doing whatever they want when they wanted. And so he and a bunch of his bros were up in the midst of all this trying to live a godly life, but trying to figure out in the midst of mess, in the midst of ungodliness, how are we going to do this effectively and make a difference in our day? Because I truly believe that we are seeing a lot of these similar things happening right here today. And right here in America. So I want to start in Daniel chapter 1, beginning right here in verse 1. And it says this, if you want to follow along with me this morning. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. And these he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz. It's going to be important for you to remember that name. It's going to be one that we're going to see throughout the scripture here today. Chief of his court officials to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He, meaning Ashpenaz, was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. And the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So these four guys are in a place where they are being confronted with culture. And they are being asked simply to do things that they don't want to do, things that they don't believe in, things that are going against the very convictions in their life. And so really my question for the day for us here is, when culture shifts, will you? When culture shifts, are you going to shift with culture Are you going to maintain the convictions that God has within your life? We're in a place that I even think that we're seeing it happen in churches, unfortunately, in America, where people are saying the Bible is outdated. It's not relevant for today. I'm just telling you, that agitates me a lot. It rubs me the wrong way quite a bit. And we have this feeling and that's being brought about even, unfortunately, in churches today that says, man, that scripture was for then, but we need to modify things for how we now live today in 2016. But I'm here to let you know, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 declares to us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, everybody. That means he does not change. And his word is everlasting. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everybody shout forever. That's why I love Proverbs 23:23, because here's what that declares to you and I. It declares that we are to buy the truth and sell it not. Here's what God is saying with that. I want you to buy all of my scripture. I don't want you to take pieces of verses, chapters, and kind of fit it to your life. No, I'm asking you to go all in and to buy the truth and sell it not. And to believe my word and what it says and to take it literally and understand that my word is everlasting. And so we need to understand, because trust me, something's going to change. And you don't want God changing to you. You want to be changing to God. Amen, everybody? And so as a church, our heart, we're not a church that gets up on our soapbox. I'm just telling you that right now. It's not who we are. It's not who I am as a pastor. We don't get up here and say, we hate this and we hate that and we don't like this and we don't like that. I just don't believe that's the way that you're going to reach people. And I think there's a better way, and there is. So you will hear me. And my heart helped to draw everyone in from whatever belief and background that they come to and from. Because I don't want to narrow the people that I can talk to about Jesus. Amen, everybody? And so I believe if I can help get you connected to God in a powerful way, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Now, my job's not to tell you what is right and what is wrong. It's the working of God's word and his Holy Spirit to reveal to you the truth and to live those out things out in Jesus' name. And so I believe that we are in a place that we must pay close attention to what God is saying and what his word is declaring to us in this hour. And I believe as you grow to know the voice of the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to identify even things within your life that you should and shouldn't do. And so culture is shifting. And the question is, will you shift in culture? But how do we live godly in this time that we are living in? And I don't think that you and I have to look real far to see that our country is in a place that we need Jesus more than we ever do. I mean, there is just signs everywhere, warning, warning. How many ever seen that old show, Lost in Space? Yeah, remember that warning, warning, Will Robinson. You know what I'm talking about? So it's just kind of warning to the church to just pay attention, to understand just where we're at. But I want to give you three things today. Three things that I think culture will try to do to you, and then three solutions to the things in which they try to use against us. So Daniel chapter 1, verse 7 says this. It's a really important verse. I want you to pay real close attention to this. It says, the chief official gave them new names. Ashpenaz was part of the process in giving new names. So notice what culture of the Babylonian time is now doing to people. They're renaming them from their original name. They said, Daniel, your new name is going to be Belshazzar. To Hananiah, you'll be Shadrach. To Mishael, you'll be Meshach. And to Azariah, you'll be Abednego. So if you're following along in your notes, jot this first one down this morning. That here's what one of the things culture will try to do is rename you. Culture will try to rename you. Culture will try to change your identity from who God made you to be to what the world wants you to be like. I'm going to say it again. Culture will try to change your identity from who God made you to be to what the world wants you to be like. And I believe it's a direct assault on your God-given destiny. And it's why we need the local church to help equip people with understanding of God's word, to teach people the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life, to know his voice clearly, to live your life before him and according to his word, so that we can equip people. Part of my responsibility is to equip you so that you can be equipped for the work of the ministry, to go out and to be salt and to be light in the world today. It's important. It's why we have our growth track. It's why we have take people through a membership process, but within that, helping them to identify their why and their purpose and why God has placed them here on the earth, and then getting them connected from growth track, then start living out the dream and their purpose. It's why we don't just throw people on teams. We allow people to make choices according to the gifts that's within them, that they serve on the teams according to their gift. Come on, somebody. That's good. Amen, everybody. Because I think we'd have a lot less frustrated churches and Christians if we served in the areas of our gift as opposed to serving because there's a need. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. All right. And then we have small groups, because here's the thing about small groups and why we do it. Because we all got stuff we're working out. We already identified that early on, minutes ago. Things that we've got to work out within our lives. We have struggles, and our small groups are made up of real people with real issues. But it's a place that we can come and just get honest with one another, because we're not made to do this life alone. And here's the deal. The world and the enemy himself will try to relabel you and try to rename you. And so part of the purpose of our responsibility as the church and in our small group is help you to identify the name that God has placed on you. There's a redemptive name that God has placed on all of us, and we must understand that God has a name for you. And so I want to spend the next couple of minutes identifying these names, because if you notice, culture did something very interesting. They said, we're going to take your God-given names, and we're going to change those to what we say you're going to be. And you must come under our authority and do what we're telling you to do. Daniel had a pretty cool name. Daniel means this. It means God is my judge. God is my judge. And it simply just means this, that I answer to God and him alone. But then they said, we're going to rename you. And Daniel, your new name is actually going to be Belshazzar, which means lady, and protect the king. Now, I'm just going to let that sink in for just a second. Because one of the attacks that the enemy tries to bring is always against our gender, and to try to bring gender confusion. The enemy says that in this day that, Daniel, you are now a lady, and you will not answer to God, but you will now answer to us. And there's a focus in our culture that is trying to take us away from God to taking us to what man says. And I'm just here to let you know, we cannot listen to the labels of the world, everybody. We must stay focused on what the Word of God is telling us in this hour. There's another name, Hananiah. That means this, great name, if you want to name your kids this, all right? Yahweh has been gracious. And it just simply means this, what an amazing God I serve. Great name. But they said, we're changing your name to Shadrach. And that means I am fearful of God. Notice the implication in what culture and the world and their time are doing. Because there's a focus in our culture that has taken God from being good, from God to being bad. And I'm not okay with that, because our God is not bad, nor is he mean. Our God is full of love, full of compassion, full of grace. Come on, his mercies are new every morning. I'm thankful for a God who loves you and I without condition. That even doesn't matter what you did last night, he's just focused on your moment here today and what you're going to do going forward. That's what he's at. Because he makes all things new. And I'm thankful for that kind of amazing love. Mishael said, we're renaming you, but in just a second, this is what his name first means. It's who is what God is. It really just translates to this, that nobody is like my God. What a great name. But they said, your new name will be Meshach. And that means this, I am despised, contemptible, and humiliated. And there is a cultural meaning going right now in the Christian culture today that I want to confront in the mighty name of Jesus. There's a focus in our culture that says from confidence to cowardice, that says you Christians need to hush. You take your God and go on somewhere. Oh, the separation of church and state, that comes up. Be quiet. We don't want to hear that. But I'm sorry. Last time I checked, I'm still part of We the People too. And I think what we need to understand is really what the separation of church really means, because it wasn't so that we didn't interfere with government. It was so that government never interfered with us. We must have an understanding of clarity of what is going on in culture. And so there's this motive, attitude, and culture that's trying to get Christians to just be cowards, to just hide behind our pews, and just to be afraid and to try to live a life of fear. And I'm not okay with that. And I'm not saying that you got to get in people's faces, because I'm telling you, don't do that. It bothers me that people that do that, honestly. I just want to spiritually slap them, okay? That's my confession this morning. Pray for me, all right? But here's what I am saying, though, is that I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Romans 1:16. That culture is not going to, listen, it's not going to cower me into a place where I'm not going to declare the name above every name. I'm not going to be afraid to go in a restaurant and pray over my meal with my family. Come on, somebody. Yeah, we're not going to give in to that. And so we're going to stand firm in our belief and what Jesus is doing and what he's placed within us to do. That's why I love Daniel so much, because of his resolve. And we're going to see more of that here in just a second. But we don't have to put anybody down, and I'm not ever proposing that you do such a thing, but let's draw everyone in. Because the more that you say that you are not for something, you've just reduced who you're able to reach. But I'm not going to be a coward, and we can do things with love. Azariah was the last one. They said, and his name meant Yahweh has helped. And that just literally means I am close to God. It's a personal, it really kind of goes back to our personal relationship. But they said, your new name will be Abednego, which means servant of Nebo. And the enemy's ultimate goal is to change your view of God from a focus on from son to slave, making you and I think, well, it's just too hard to serve God. It's just too difficult to live for him. And there's this attitude that culture paints. And so jot this down. When culture shifts, you better know who you are. When culture shifts, you better know who you are. You have to be secure in your identity and who you are as a believer in Christ. And don't ever be ashamed of Jesus. Amen, everybody. Daniel 1:8, I love this, because this verse 8 follows the verse where his name was changed. And I just love Daniel, because he gives us such a great example of how to live godly in an ungodly time. Watch what he said here. It says this, but Daniel resolved, another version said he purposed not to defile himself with the royal food. Notice he's moving forward. And wine, and he asked the chief official for permission to not defile himself this way. What I want you to notice, keep that verse up there for a minute. What I want you to notice about this verse is the courtesy. He was confronting culture already, but there was a courtesy about him. He wasn't mean. He wasn't all up in the grill. He was just being honest. And here's what that verse says to me. That you can change my name if you want to. Culture, you can change my name if you want to, but you'll never change who I am. You can change and you can say all the things you want, but it'll never change who I am and what I stand for and what I believe and where I'm living, who I'm living my life for and where I'm going with my life. You can change my name, but you'll never change who I am. And he's making the statement that I've purposed in my heart that I will not defile God. I've purposed within my life that all the days that I live on this earth, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to live for him. So here's the second thing culture will try to do is they'll try to tame you. Culture will try to tame you. They'll try to lure us into something that we know is wrong. They say, well, it won't hurt that bad. You know, just, man, I don't want conflict. So just go with the flow. We want peace. We all want peace. And I'm not saying we don't have that peace. But in the midst of a culture that's calling us just to go with the flow, here's what I know. If you don't learn to stand for something, you will fall for anything. And we must, as the local church, understand things that we love and as it relates to the Lord and his word and know how to stand for that. I've had a conviction all my life. All my life, I've just been raised this way. And I made some decisions early on in my life that God is going to be first in everything that I do. My life is going to be centered around Jesus and what he wants. I made that before I was ever in ministry, made it as a single man. And when Bethany and I got married, as a marriage, we declared and we said, God's going to be first in our marriage. God's going to be first in our kids' life. Guess what? God's going to be first in our family as a whole. God's going to be first in our jobs. God's going to be first in our finances. Elevate City, God is going to be first in this church. And this church is built on Jesus. Trust me, this is a house of prayer, a place that was built on prayer many, many years ago. And it will always be that, and we will not stray from those convictions that God has given us to do in our life. It's why we have 21 days of prayer and fasting in the first month of the year in January, because we understand first things in this church. We understand even in August that we dedicate 21 days of just prayer to the Lord, because we understand without God that we are nothing and that we need Jesus every step of the way. So jot this down. When culture shifts, don't lose your convictions. Remember what you stand for, what God stands for. Daniel 1, 11 through 14. I love Daniel's swag here. Watch this, man. It's so cool. Now, by the way, I've said this once. The Word of God is just awesome. You just got to get into it. So much to it. So awesome. Get you a good version of the Bible to read. I understand King Jimmy's version, man. It's not always understandable, all right? King James, all right? I'm just being a little funny there, all right? But there's New Living Translation, NIV, some good translations out there to help you understand the Word of God better. All right, just have a little fun. But it says this. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, look at this. Please test your servants for 10 days. Man, Daniel's got some confidence in his God, doesn't he? And 10 in the Bible just means test. You'll see that word 10 a lot of different places in Bible, in Scripture, and even as it relates to giving and tithe. 10% God requires of us, and that just literally means test of your heart. And he said this, look, give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink, which is where we get the Daniel fast from. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he, Ashpenaz, agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. When culture shifts, you will be tested. You will encounter, feel, see pressure. Say, Pastor, I wish you'd be more positive. I'm positive. You will get hit in the face with culture and pressure and have to make some decisions in your life and for your family and what you know God is telling you to do. And so number three, here's ultimately what culture is trying to do. And that's claim you. Listen, there is a battle that is waging right now for your life, for your kids' life. And we must not shy away and act like it's not there. Can I tell you one of the greatest things the local church is the hope of the world. And can I tell you one of the greatest things we can do as a church? Be on our knees in prayer and praying. Why? Because prayer moves things. Shifts things. Prayer changes things. We must be a people of prayer, desperate for the power of God. I'm telling you, I'm thinking often about my kids' future, what it's going to look like, but I've made a decision. I'm going to fight for their generation. That I pray that our generations of people that are living right now slay some giants so they'll never have to fight those giants in the name of Jesus. And so we must have, I believe, a heart and a diligence to seek after the things of the Lord. Students, I want you to hear me very clearly. Times are intense in high schools all over America like nothing we've ever seen. Your friends are a photograph of your future. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. For some of us, we're being pulled so much on one side, but I'm telling you, remain strong in the Lord and the convictions and the power of his might. And when you stand for God, I promise you, he'll stand for you. Never forget that. He is with you in your school. You don't have to cower to whatever's happening. God is wanting to raise up a generation of teenagers and kids that are back there today that know and that are in absolute love with Jesus in their time. It doesn't matter what age, everybody. God wants to move on any age, and he can, and he will. I'm longing for the day where y'all come home and your kids are just preaching to you, telling you about what Jesus is doing. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about that kind of ministry, man. Yes, Lord. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, and I came into my biology class, and I was sitting, most of my class was with seniors and juniors and a few sophomores, and I remember being confronted with culture right up in my face. And I said this before, you'll be confronted, and you'll have to make some decisions. And as I was sitting there, our teacher got up and was beginning to talk about our new section that we were going to be learning. And he said, the next section that we'll be diving into is one on evolution. Now, I was 14 years old, but I knew Jesus and I loved me some Jesus. And so I let him talk for a minute, and just with respect, I wasn't rude, none of that, but I just raised my hand. And I just said, sir, I said, with all due respect, I said, if we're going to talk about evolution today, I think we need to talk about creation along with this. And he just looked at me. You could have heard a pin drop in the class. And he just said, Kyle, he said, that's not in our curriculum. Evolution is. And so we're going to teach that. That'll be what we're going to learn over the next week or two. I just kind of put my hand up again. I said, sir, I understand what you're telling me. I said, but with all due respect, you cannot talk about this without talking about creation. I said, that's not okay with me. And then all of a sudden, my class just went in an uproar. I mean, they're just fussing at me. And I just heard four-letter words drop my way. Glory to God. Amen. And so all of a sudden, my teacher just stands up and he just does one of these things. He says, stop it, everybody. He just said, shut up. That's what he said to all of us. And be quiet and listen. He said, what we're going to do is move to the next section. We're not going to talk about this. We're just going to go on to the next section. So here we go. And you know what? That was a victory in my book, everybody. Man, I'm telling you, stand for God. He's going to stand for you. I remember working in Columbus, and I was a general manager there at the airport. You've heard a little bit of my story, but I've never shared this. And we had a big moment through a year in our airport of some decisions that were being made, and one of those decisions was having a prayer room dedicated. And it was, it was brought forth by Muslims that wanted to have a time of prayer and wanted to have their room because they would take breaks to go pray. And so different companies within our airport permitted them. So they thought, let's just build a prayer-focused religions room, and they can do that there instead of just being out in the concourses. And so they did. And so I remember that. And so it was a room that was dedicated to all kinds of religions. And I was just minding my own business. But I have a heart for those that are in the Middle East. And I have a heart because I've ministered to many, those of the Islamic faith. And actually had a good friend that was a coworker that was a Muslim. And so I just thought, man, you talk world religions, that's, man, my God's in there, all right? So I'm gonna show up and pray. So on some of my breaks, I would just take my Bible in there, and I would just pray. And I would pray, even though they didn't know it, for them. Pray for the love of God to overwhelm them, for them to see the Lord. And I was doing it consistently for quite a while. When one day a few of the Muslims actually came up to me, just began to talk to me, said, man, we see you here every day. And you're praying and you're reading your Bible here, and I just want to talk to you. And so we just started talking about, man, their faith and what I believe in. And we did that for some time until finally one day, one of them looked at me and said, Kyle, I just want to say this. I don't believe in your God, but let me say this, that I respect you. I respect you for how you've handled yourself, that you're in the Word, but that you're living this out with love, exactly what you've said that you believe, you're walking that out. And that's not to toot my own horn by any stretch of the imagination today, but my heart is we've got to be an example everywhere that we're at. And I look for opportunities to reach people right where they're at. And no matter where they're at, no matter their belief system, doesn't matter to me, God can reach them right where they're at, everybody. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And listen, the heart of God is that none would perish. And I believe we've got to continue to have a heart for our city, for everybody, for every background, for every belief system. Doesn't matter what they're believing right now. What matters is that we have a heart for people to serve them right where they're at in Jesus' name. So when culture shifts, here's what I'm telling you, jot it down. Don't give in to the pressure. Because culture will try to say, well, you can do this, you can look at that, and you can drink this and smoke that and whatever you want to do. But remember, you stand for God, He's going to stand for you. Verse 15, chapter 1, it says this. At the end of the 10 days, remember, Daniel asked, give us 10 days, test us. They looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Why is that? Because God's way is always better. Look at the person next to you. Tell them this. God's way is always better. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and give them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. What we won't go into Daniel chapter 2 in this series, but that's a massive part of God using Daniel to interpret a dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. I encourage you to go read chapter 2 if you have time. But God supernaturally blessed Daniel. And he interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And the awesome thing about it is that the king responded back to Daniel and said, your God is the real God. And at the end, go read that chapter. At the end of that, the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official, who's Ashpenaz again, presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them. Notice this, he found none equal, came back to their original name, to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I think there's something to be said that they identified back with who they were. So they entered the king's service. Verse 20 of Daniel chapter 1, it says, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better. Everybody say 10 times better. Come on, 10 times better. Than all the magicians and the enchanters of in his whole kingdom. I'm telling you, God is 10 times better than anything this world could ever offer you and I. 10 times better. Oh, we need to give God a little better hand than that. I'm telling you, 10 times better. Nothing this world can offer you. God will give you 10 times better. So the question is, will you change the world or will the world change me? Listen, we don't need to get up in people's faces to make a difference. Can I tell you the medicine to a lost and dying world in America is the love of Jesus Christ. Live it out. Serve people. Love people. The Bible says, let your light shine before men, that they see your good deeds so that they will glorify your God in heaven. And we're called to make a difference, everybody. And we don't need to reflect culture. We need to set the culture. That's who God has called us to be. And so will my identity, jot this down. A couple questions for you to think about. Come from God or is it going to come from this world? I live my convictions in my life according to the world's standards, or what God's word has called me to. Romans 6:3 says, it's for sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians and were baptized to become a part of Jesus Christ. The power of sin is broken. Man, when you come and step into a relationship with Jesus, the power of sin and the power of the enemy is broken off your life once and for all. Some of us for the first time are going to experience that here in just a moment. I'm going to give you an invitation in a moment to receive Jesus in your life. It's why we love baptisms around here too. Several weeks ago, we baptized 27 people. It's awesome. But part of what baptism is it identifies that you belong to God. It's a public declaration of your faith. It's telling the world, I belong to Jesus. I like to give the example that baptism is like a wedding ring. My wedding ring indicates that I'm married and that I belong to Bethany, nobody else. That's what it says. And so that's why that's powerful. But I'm here to let you know, let's make the decision together. We're not going to allow culture to change us, but we're going to be the light that God has called us to be in this world and love people like nobody else can. Love people and serve people right where they're at. And may it be contagious that when people see you, that they see Jesus and they know, man, you're the real thing. Like you just aren't talking it. You live it and you're living it out. And you're making a difference. I'm telling you, there's people all around you in your life that need this hope. And we've got to continue to grow with the understanding one invitation can change a life. So there may be somebody in your workplace that's one invitation away from seeing life change in their life. You may be the one. But I just want to encourage us here this morning. Let's stay open to what God wants to do and how he wants to use us. Will you bow your head where you're at? Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for this message. I believe a message of hope, a message of encouragement in all of our lives. Lord, in this place is a place and a people full of world changers in this room. I believe it. I believe that you have placed incredible potential in their life. And so, Father, I pray that we hear this message with the understanding, not what Pastor Kyle is saying, but what God is saying, what your word is declaring to us. Father, we pray for our city and our nation, God, that you would move in a powerful way. Lord, we need you and we're desperate for you. And I thank you for opportunities of, Lord, people who don't know you that you would put in our path, God, so that we could love them, make a difference, serve them, maybe an invitation, Lord, or even to church, whatever it may be. God, that people, most importantly, will step into an authentic relationship with you. Give us the courage. Give us the boldness in this hour, I pray. If you're here this morning and Jesus is not Lord of your life, before we do anything else, this is the most important moment in this service today. If you're here today and he's not first, and maybe you're in a place that you knew him at one time, but you seem to feel like you've just drifted from your relationship with God, but you know it's time to step back into that relationship with him. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, just during this moment, just talking to you for a second. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down the front. We're not going to embarrass anybody. But if you say, man, Kyle, that's me. I need to place God first in my life. I need to make him Lord of everything. And I'm for real about it today. Come on, without hesitation, slip up your hand right where you're at. Come on, all over this place, you say, man, that's me, that's me, that's me. Thank you so much. Awesome, awesome. Thank you, man. Come on, anybody else that says that's me, anybody else that says I need to place him first, I'm not going back, I'm not going back, I'm not going back. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I just want you to pray this prayer after me. And say this with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for paying the ultimate price so that I can experience life with you. Lord, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my past. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for changing me. And Lord, I give you all that I am today. In Jesus' name, amen.